All right. Hey, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. Pray. I'm going to pray in particular for all troubled marriages. I'm going to pray for those going through divorce, the annulment process, those discerning marriages that make the right decision, those troubled marriages where there's hurt, betrayal, infidelity, where there's abuse or violence. I just ask that Lord can come in and remedy those situations. I want to pray for our country today too, right? We need to pray for this nation that God gives us the leaders, not that we deserve, right? But in his mercy, the leaders that will help restore this great nation of ours. So let's pray for our country together as well. I want to pray for a friend of mine. Her name's Gloria, little Gloria Romolini, Gloria Maria. And we prayed for her, oh gosh, a couple weeks ago or a week ago. I got an email from her sister, and she had she had some issues, blood clots, different pain, and she had to have surgery. And she just wanted me to say, hey, thank you so much for your prayers. She says, I need them. And I told her we'd pray for her today, too. So I want to pray for anyone recovering from surgery, undergoing surgery, anybody with aneurysms or blood clots or tumors or other health issues as well. We'll make sure we do it. And I want to send a shout out. Maggie, what was the beautiful lady who came by today? What was her name? Do you remember it offhand? I want to.
Anne-Maria Messia.
Anne-Marie, what's her last name?
Messia.
Is your mic open? Good.
Yes.
Oh, you know what? Now that I can see you with your little red light on there, I'll know if your mic is hot. That's perfect. See, Maggie's right next to me in the glass, and I can never tell because we're in soundproof booths, right? So I can't hear what she says unless she hits a talkback button to me.
Yep.
But now I can see whether her mic is hot or not. I like that. So, yeah, she was a wonderful little lady, right?
Yes.
And she introduced me to a new form of prayer. She created a hybrid prayer. And she says she prays the rosary along with the Divine Mercy Chaplet. What she'll do is a decade of the rosary followed by a decade of the chaplet. And I thought that's kind of a cool idea. You know, she mixes the two prayers together. She says, I've been doing it forever now. So she gets both of her prayers in. Hey, it was very nice meeting you today. Thank you for all you do for life. She stopped by the studios to say hello. I'm in the studio today with Preston Alex. He is my colleague here. He hails from our accounting department. And we got a big week next week, don't we, Preston?
It's going to be exciting.
Pledge drive! Woo! Yeah. I'm trying to get pumped early.
Yeah.
No, that didn't sound too enthusiastic, did it?
No, that's good. We're excited.
I think we're going to have a great pledge drive.
I'm ready for it.
I think it's important. I think, you know, and we're grateful for all the listeners who support. I know it feels like it comes so quickly, right. You know, here. The pledge drives jump there upon us every time you blink your eye, but it's really about every 3 months. It's every quarter, and one quarter helps us get to the next. And it's necessary. We reach a lot of souls, and we're continuing to reach more. And that's in large part to your generosity, and we're so grateful for that. We're bringing mercy to people all over the world. Hey, before we pray, quick question for you. How did you get introduced to Divine Mercy? What was your introduction to this devotion?
My mother. She shared the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and we prayed it together, and I really liked it because it was the short form version of the rosary. So,
as 20 minutes. This is like 10. This is 8 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So if my choice was rosary or Divine Mercy Chaplet, we'd always go Divine Mercy at home.
my father once said to me, he prayed the rosary every day, right? He once said he thinks God, in some respects, gave us the chaplet because it was shorter. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, the rosary takes time and meditation. Father Rocky asked me, what's your favorite, the rosary or the chaplet? Well, I prayed the rosary for years before I ever discovered Divine Mercy, and I pray both every day. I mean, I love them both. They're different prayers, but they're swords in each hand to me.
And I feel the meditations around the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I'm more focused on those around me. And like, you know, each one of the, every time I say I have mercy on us in the whole world, I'm thinking about an individual person in my life, and it's easier for me to do that.
Yeah.
Whereas the rosary, I feel more inclined to think about Christ and his life and Mary's role. So it's a different kind of meditative prayer for me, and I really appreciate it.
It's a good way of putting it, because John Paul II, he says, when you pray the rosary, what you're doing is meditating on the life of Christ through the eyes of Mary. It's a Christocentric prayer is what the rosary is. And so is the chaplet. It's a Christocentric prayer. Clearly, we meditate on his passion, his suffering, and what he brought. And we're going to do that for you now. There are promises given to this incredible prayer. And I don't know if you're listening to us right now in the central time zone. If you are, in your hour, it's the 3 o'clock hour. And as I say it all the time, the chaplet does not have to be prayed at this hour. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, the chaplet, 3 o'clock. No, it doesn't. We pray 4 o'clock on the East Coast. We pray 1 o'clock on the West Coast. I happen to pray to 3 o'clock hour because the Lord also gave another promise to St. Faustina. He said this. It's diary entry 1572. He said, I remind you, my daughter, that as often as you hear the clock strike the third hour, immerse yourself completely in my mercy, adoring and glorifying it. Invoke its omnipotence for the whole world and particularly for poor sinners. For at that moment, mercy was opened wide for every soul. In this hour, and here's one of my favorite promises, the Lord keeps giving us this promise. He gave it in the chapel, but he gave it for those who meditate on his passion in this hour. He says, in this hour, you can obtain for yourself everything and for others for the asking. For it was in this hour of grace that the whole world, that mercy triumphed over justice. So let me just repeat that last line and then we'll pray. In this hour, you can obtain everything for yourself and for others for the asking. It was in this hour that grace for the whole world, mercy triumphed over justice. Look, how many of you are praying for your kids to be free from addiction or from a sexual proclivity? Or perhaps you're praying for your spouse to come back to God. Perhaps you're praying for that new career or that future spouse or for that baby because you're struggling with infertility. In this hour, you can obtain everything for yourself and for others for the asking. He asks us to immerse ourselves completely in his mercy, adore it, glorify it, invoke its omnipotence, particularly for sinners. All right, so let's pray right now. We'll give the Lord our heart. We thank him. I thank the Lord all the time for these promises. That's the 3 o'clock hour promise. I don't talk a whole lot about it. I'll maybe, if I have time another day, share a little bit what happened leading up to that and what the Lord had asked Faustina first to do. But also, just this prayer we're about to engage in, it is a prayer of miracles, and I'm convinced that we're going to see many of those. So we'll pray as we do every day, invoking St. Martin de Porres, one of my favorite saints. This guy was unbelievable with his gifts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Waterford, Wisconsin. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much. I'm calling for prayers for a baby to be born via C-section on November 8th. It's my best friend's daughter. This is her fourth baby. She found out in like about the second trimester that the baby had numerous heart issues. And so the survival is touch and go.
Yeah.
She's got, her heart is on the right side of her chest instead of her left, and she has two left sides of her heart, and also has an enlarged pulmonary valve, and a low heart rate, 94 is her average, and it should be 150 in utero. This gal, Mom Ashley, who's hoping to give birth to Sophia Isabel, has been so brave during this very scary time, and I just pray for the best possible outcome. That God will be merciful.
Well, Chris, thank you. Thanks for calling. Let's pray for her right now, and we'll pray for this little baby. I know it seems impossible. We had a call the other day of a mother who called in her daughter had a hole in its heart, called back the next day to say I went to the doctors, and That hole's almost completely gone now. The doctors couldn't believe it. No surgery needed. This situation seems grave. It seems irreparable in some respects, but not with God. You know, and I really believe that. If God can raise from the dead, he can heal a heart. You know, this St. Faustina wrote in her diary that, you know, a soul that approaches the tribunal of mercy with a contrite heart, you know, has never been refused. And I know you have a very contrite heart, and I'm going to pray for a miracle. Faustina said that, you know, sooner would heaven and earth turn into nothingness, the Lord told her, than his mercy not embrace a trusting soul. So I'm going to trust that God is hearing these prayers now, that this young woman will get through this, and that whether it's through medicine and surgery or whether it's through the divine touch, that this child will have a healthy life. And Lord, I just pray for all those with problems in utero. I'm going to pray for all those having issues with fertility. I want to pray for that mother now that wants to destroy the life in her womb, that she can recognize it is a gift from you. I want to pray for those foster parents and those who so desperately want to have a child. I just give you this, and I just pray for these medical miracles. I love them. I love when you allow them to take place. They glorify you, and they show the power of this prayer. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Marianne in Plainfield, Illinois. Good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I don't know how to ask for these prayers because my heart is just aching. My granddaughter's sister-in-law in her 30s, who served in the Navy, tried to commit suicide. Either, I don't know if it was early this morning or late last night, but I want prayers for her that God may have mercy on her and stay her hand and heal whatever is the cause that's bringing her to a point of suicide. And I pray every day for those who are suicidal, never knowing that it was going to hit so close to home. So I pray for her name is Jessica Samara, and all those who have family members that are struggling with suicide.
Yeah. Well, Marianne, first, I want to personally thank you, because that is such a beautiful prayer. It really is, to pray for those who go through these moments of despair and don't think life has meaning or it's worth living any longer. I know you're going to have a special place with God, and I ask you to continue to pray that prayer, and perhaps your prayers save Jessica's life, right? And she's alive today. And we're going to just pray for her complete healing emotionally and psychologically and whatever it may be. And Lord, I give you those who are depressed, those who are struggling with anxiety. And I want to pray in particular for those with suicidal ideations, those who think that that is the solution. It is the only way to resolve their situation. You know, suicide is really, it not only destroys life, but it destroys families. It ripples out and destroys so many others. And I want to pray for those parents and for those siblings and for those children who've lost loved ones by suicide. And Lord, I just ask you bring healing to Jessica right now. We bring her to this ocean of your mercy. We immerse her in it. I give to you every other soul right now who is on that razor's edge. And Lord, I just pray you hold back the hands of our loved ones, that we never have to drink from that bitter cup. So trusting in your mercy, we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Lydia in Downey, California, she'll be our third caller today. Let me go to Maggie, who monitors your intentions. I know a lot of intentions come in on Twitter. A great way to follow us is at Drew Mariani Show. All right, that's our show account, at Drew Mariani Show, and put your intentions there. You can follow me personally too, at Drew Mariani. I'd appreciate that. And you can also send me your answered prayers. Email me those, though. Drew@relevantradio.com. That's a show email, Drew@relevantradio. Mark answered prayers or praise report or however you want it. I love sharing them with everyone, okay? Maggie, what's coming in?
Drew, I was asked earlier today to pray for the repose of the soul of someone named John Joseph Giovanelli. So I want to lift that up. Regina tweeted us earlier and said, please pray for my Catholic marriage. It's in the process of divorce. I need a miracle. And for the conversion of my husband. Thank you, Drew, for praying with me on these issues for the past 3 years.
Wow.
Barbie wrote to us and said, please pray for a woman whose daughter was taken from her home by her ex-husband. They've not heard from either of them for a few days. And Marcelina says, please pray for me. I've been at the same job for 15 years. There's a coworker who will not speak to me, and my boss is also not speaking to me after several attempts. I honestly don't know what's happening. I need clarity, resolution, and mercy. I need my Relevant Radio family. And then lastly, Elizabeth is praying in thanksgiving for some answered prayers of healing and her family's health. Right.
Praise God for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know the chaplet's very effective in bringing those who are missing back home. So we'll pray in particular for that intention that came in. And I also want to pray for that woman who's so persistent in her prayer. You know, I think God honors persistence. You know, prayers aren't always answered instantly. I love those answered prayers when, you know, the hole in that heart disappears, or, you know, suddenly the tumor's gone, or, you know, somebody gets a check and their bills are able to be taken care of. God can work just as fast as he multiplied loaves and fish, right? But sometimes the Lord really wants us to grow in faith, and he wants you to walk with him. He did 40 days in the desert. Sometimes he wants you to take some time in the desert, and you got to persist, all right? You have to persist. Never lose your faith. Saint Mother Teresa had 40 years of darkness, you know, and she persisted. And look at the great saint. Look at the power of her ministry. Faustina wrote in her diary, she says, look, the past doesn't belong to me. The future is not mine. With all my soul, I just try to make use of the present moment. So don't worry about how this is going to end. Don't worry about what has happened in the past. Walk with Faustina. Make use of the present moment. It is your moment. And Lord, I trust in you. I'm just asking for you hear these prayers, you give reprieve, you in your mercy just answer those crying out to you. Lydia in Downey, California, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. After the chaplet, I'll be going to have surgery. So I'm just asking for prayers, healing prayers. They found in my pelvic and abdominal area a cystic mass. And they're going to see if it's cancerous or not. And I just ask for prayers.
Well, I am so glad you got through today. I think it's divine providence, especially going into surgery next. You have my deepest prayers. Okay, I'll pray for you later today, too. Especially when I'm off the air, you might be in surgery. So I will pray for you on my ride back home, Lydia. You hang in there, okay? Know your spiritual family is here for you. And we're praying for you. And Lord, I just ask that you be the hands of the surgeon. And I ask that this tumor, this mass, this cyst, not be cancerous. And we just ask for complete restoration of health for Lydia and all those now waiting tests and biopsies, undergoing exploratory surgery, undergoing surgery, and recovering. Those in the battle for cancer, with cancer too, Lord, I give you as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Tim in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, hi, Drew. Just calling to say thanks for answered prayer yesterday. My mom passed away early this morning, peacefully, pain-free, and everything was smooth with no pain.
Were you there by her bedside?
No, my brother was. She's down in Florida, but she was with family in Florida.
Well, I am glad we could pray for her, and we all make this journey. And I know, as I often say, one day we'll be perfectly reunited with our loved ones. So, Tim, my heart goes to your family. I know what it's like to lose a mother, and it's painful, and it's difficult. And the days ahead aren't going to get any easier for you, you know, as you go through the funeral process. But count on our prayers. And thank you for looking at this through eyes of faith, because, you know, you're such a beautiful witness to the faith. Your mother died peacefully. It's one of the great promises of the chaplet, you know, how the Lord promises to stand between the dying, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. He talks about how peace will overcome that soul, you know, and how we can pray this prayer at a distance. So I'm so grateful for your prayers and for your witness, and count on our prayers for your family. Lord, I give you all who mourn. I give you all who you've just called home, all those who will die in the not-too-distant future. And I pray for all those who are listening to me now for the hour of their own death. Lord, meet us as a merciful Savior. Grant us a peaceful death. And I just give you these needs. I unite Tim and all of his personal needs to those who now pray with me. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Alfonso, praying with us in Stockton, California. Hi, Alfonso.
Hello, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
The reason I'm calling now, I've called a couple of times already. One about my wife, one on divorce. Then it started working out, and now it seems that instead of getting better, I just need some discernment from God, and so I can make the right choice. Whether I stay with it or do I look for the better of my family?
Well, I would advise counseling, of course. Get some good Catholic counseling if you can. That would certainly help, you know, to make that decision. Pray, fast. That certainly changes things. And if it is a sacramental marriage and you really believe this is a valid marriage, then I would do everything I could to fight for it, you know. And it might mean months, might mean years of hardship, you know, difficulty, suffering for you. But I believe in the end, you know, you will prevail. You know, it's maybe your way of the cross, maybe a way to greater sanctity, maybe for your wife. St. Faustina wrote in diary entry 1182 of her diary, she says, the Lord says, your misery, doesn't hinder my mercy. He says, write that the greater the misery of the soul, and Alfonso, I know that you're in a terrible storm right now. I can't imagine the torment you are in. The greater the misery of the soul, the greater the right you have to my mercy. That's what the Lord said. And he said to Faustina, he says, tell souls, urge them, trust in my unfathomable mercy because I want to save them all. So I don't know what is in store for you, but I'm going to pray for you now. I know so many others are too. And Alfonso, you hang in there. Keep praying. Stay the course. And I want to pray for Tim and Nancy and for Robin and Tony and Arabella and Mandy and Joe and Jim and Phil and Patty and Lydia and everyone that's on hold here. Everyone who couldn't get through, everyone who is praying with me now. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our needs. You know our deepest desires. We pray for the grace to know you, love you, serve you. And in your divine will, Lord, we ask for many miracles if it be your will. If not, we submit ourselves to whatever you want for us as we pray. Eternal Father, We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I almost missed this, but I just am being notified right now that we just received a tweet from Hong Kong. It shows how universal our family is, and we might be separated by thousands of miles in geography and oceans, but we're really one family praying together. I just love, that's the beauty of this prayer. This tweet from Hong Kong says, could you pray for a young mother of a one-year-old baby? She's now suffering the baby blues. She has postpartum depression. And she's contemplating committing suicide after an argument with her husband. So, Lord, I just ask in a special way that you just touch this relationship and you help this mother and all mothers who are dealing with depression right now. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Martin de Porres,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Stay with me. I'll be right back. You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forrester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The battle for Kherson is intensifying. Ukrainians today claiming hits on this bridge in the southern city.
This is the road to Kherson. It's the biggest city that Russia has in its control in this whole country, and it's the only regional capital. And the guys here were saying that just a few weeks ago, this was the very front line of their fight with the Russians, but now they've managed to push them back.
They're now closing in on the city, hoping to deal Putin a humiliating blow, but it's taken its toll.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's an update, I believe it was from ABC on the Ukraine just yesterday. I thought we'd take a look at this. The situation continues to unfold, going from a virtually unknown comic to an elected president of a country who's captivated the world. I want to talk about the president there. You're dealing with 42 million people. You would have thought when Russia went into Ukraine, that battle would have been over in about 48 hours. And I'm sure there was a big target on Volodymyr Zelensky's back. And yet this guy went from a television personality to the leader of 42 million people, and he won the respect of world leaders of the world. He faced a far larger adversary. And normally the president of Ukraine would hardly be known to anybody outside of his own country. And I wonder how many people could actually find Ukraine on a map if he walked the street and you asked them. Everybody knows where it is right now. They know the region of Europe that it's in, but Zelensky is now seen everywhere around the world, and he tries to keep up the morale of his army so they can finally push Russia out of their country. So, as you know, the war started in February 24th, and Vladimir Putin, he wanted it to be over in a short hit, you know, probably within weeks. That was not the case. We all heard about losses that Putin has been taking, and he actually had to withdraw some of his army from eastern Ukraine. He's inflicting heavy losses right now in parts of the country. One estimate is that it would take, they say, something around $350 billion to rebuild the country at this point. It raises questions with so many Ukrainians now spread out around the world. How many are going to return home? And if they want to return home, what do they return home to? You know, the EU has pledged whatever it takes, and whether or not they can actually follow through that, we'll have to see. But President Zelensky has shown himself as a scrappy fighter. He helped to lead a vastly outnumbered army in tactics that would have been, wouldn't have been thought of 20 years ago. The face of war has really changed. Look what we have, right? The use of drones, an international army of hackers. You know, technology played such a huge role in this battle, asking for direct donations of military equipment to help defeat the enemy, right? So that scrappiness has served him. It served his country well. And whether or not he can win the war, time will ultimately tell. But I've invited Jeffrey Cain today, who's a senior fellow at the Lincoln Network. It's a tech policy think tank, to join me. I read a great article just recently that really made me want to share with you, the role that technology has played in this. He actually went to Ukraine earlier this year and ended up interviewing President Zelensky himself. It was an interview that was published in the June edition of the Wired magazine, and check it out. I read it. It's well worth the read. I've been following a lot of what's been happening between Russia and Ukraine, and this was an angle that I have not yet seen. It's great to have you with me today, Jeffrey. Thank you for making time for us.
Thank you for having me, Drew.
So you had this opportunity to travel to Ukraine. You get to meet Volodymyr Zelensky. Share with us your sense of who he is, and what is it about him that took him from comedy clubs in Ukraine to the leadership of a nation and going toe-to-toe with one of the world's, great superpowers?
That is exactly one of the fascinating features of President Zelensky, that he is not your typical president. Even when we were in the room, we were in the presidential palace with Wired magazine. And, we had to stand up and do the formal ceremony. They said, the president's coming, please stand, please address him as President Zelensky. And then, we stood there for about 15 minutes and the big doors opened. And then, that this very unassuming man walked in with a beard who looked, a little bit tired and frazzled, who had the camouflage pants, fatigues, and a green shirt, just a regular T-shirt, walked in, introduced himself as Volodymyr by the first name, sat down, said, how's it going? Wanted to get to know all of us. He really is an everyman. And that was what was so astounding about him, is that he has incredible appeal to the Ukrainian people. He's somebody who doesn't feel like a dictator or someone who's too high and mighty. He really does care about the future of his country. And he has so much broad appeal because of his background as a comedian, an actor, and a television producer.
No question about it. You look at this man, you figure he's going to, be Time Person of the Year. I mean, when this war is over, this man's going to be a legend in Ukrainian history. That's for sure. It's a different war though than anything we have seen prior to where we are right now. And, I look at how much money's been put, how much technology the U.S. and other nations are dumping, but you write in your piece about the technology that is reshaping the war. Now, drones are new to warfare. They've they have upended the balance of power. You've got hackers, and they're not black op, hackers. They're average guys going out there and coming to the aid of Ukraine. Fill me in on this side of warfare. I've been following a lot about what's going on in terms of nations dumping money and weaponry there, but what role has technology played, and how has it changed the face of warfare as we know it?
It has radically altered the face of warfare. So it used to be that to win a war, you really had to have the best tanks, the best special forces, the most formidably trained soldiers. But that has changed. This old style of warfare has been upended in Ukraine because we're seeing now that technological advances combined with the ability to place these technologies and skills in the hands of regular people are making a huge difference. So one great example, drones, as you mentioned, it used to be so drones were deployed in Afghanistan and Iraq. They were useful for destroying tank columns and ferreting out enemy positions, used for reconnaissance. But in this war, it's shifted even more. This is not like Afghanistan. What's happening here is that drones are being put into the hands of regular people. They're affordable. Anybody can go on the internet, get their drone, put weapons on it, put a grenade on it, and then fly their drone over a Russian tank and, you know, drop that grenade, just try to do damage. So there's a very interesting democratization of warfare that's happening in which regular people, just regular Ukrainians, now have the tools that they need to fight back. Russia was not ready for this. Putin was not ready for this. They thought that Ukraine was going to capitulate in a matter of days and maybe even hours. But now Putin is at war with an entire nation, not just with the Ukrainian army.
You know, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think of 21st century militiamen being drone pilots and hackers today. That's really, you know, what we are seeing. It's pretty amazing. The other aspect of this war is the media. I mean, we had social media, so being able to get into Russia and give pro-Ukrainian messages, or at least to be able to internationally bring the violence of this war to the world to show the ugliness of it and what's really happening. The problem I'm seeing right now, and I'm a news consumer, you know, for my job, I have to, you know, be in the know, and I've seen how news coverage has really changed. There is some coverage of the war, but it's nowhere near the level. Right now, if you turn on American news, it's all politics and some local stuff. I was abroad just recently, and you do get a different taste. You get a lot of international news. You get a lot regarding this war. How has the media played a role in this as well? And I guess the big question really is, and I think you may have even addressed it in your article, you know, and you might have asked Volodymyr this question. How do you keep people from forgetting about the war? How do you get them to stay engaged when there's fatigue from this?
You know, so President Zelensky, he back when the war started, he was a master of media, of messaging, of getting the message out. And he did a very fine job of galvanizing nations all over the world, democracies, so America, the European Union. And there was just this massive effort to support the Ukrainian people as a result. Now, of course, that has since faded. We're now about 9 months into the war. There's fatigue happening around the world. There are even people who are, you know, getting tired of the president. They're saying that he's a fake and he's a fraud, and, you know, we shouldn't care about Ukraine because why does it matter to America in the end? Shouldn't we just sign a deal with Russia and let them cede some land from Ukraine to Russia? Now, personally, I disagree with that absolutely. I think that's a terrible idea. But one of the key things here that needs to happen is getting Ukraine back in the media. It's still a cause that people care about. But every so often, there's a major event that sparks the media interest again. So one recent example, there was a bridge that was blown up, which goes over the Black Sea, a very strategic bridge. Yep. Yes, so I'm sure you saw that news. That Ukraine has not proclaimed responsibility for that, but widely suspected to be a Ukrainian sabotage of some kind. This event was seminal because it signified that the war was had completely turned about against Putin, that there's really no chance as it stands that Putin is going to be able to turn this around with his major supply lines cut off. Now, the question is, you know, how do we get that interest in Ukraine continuing? That was a big moment. People got interested again. But I think one of the big questions that the president and his advisors have is how do we ensure that the world doesn't forget about this and this becomes, you know, we don't want Ukraine to become Syria or Libya or somewhere where there were major atrocities, but the war just drags on and on and on to the point where people are tired and don't really care all that much anymore.
Yeah, that's so true. Hey, I have to take a short break, Jeffrey. Stay with me one quick second. When we come back, we'll grab a few calls. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 888-914-9149. A lot to talk about. There are some people who believe, you know, Russia's justified in what they're doing. I'd love to get your take on that. And then Elon Musk, the Starlink system, too. Speaking of technology, I want you to bring me up to speed on that. I know there was some thought about him not providing the services anymore. But we'll take a look at that and a whole lot more. Stay with me. Our conversation continues.
Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Pontiffs and Politics. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
And it's 12 minutes now before the top of the hour. Welcome back. You're just joining us, putting my finger on the pulse of what's unfolding now between Ukraine and Russia and some of the things that you're not getting a whole lot of coverage on. Taking a look today at the technology side of that war. And I'm joined this afternoon by Jeffrey Kane. It's a delight to have him here with us. You can join me too at 888-914-9149. He's a senior fellow at the Lincoln Network, a tech policy think tank. Check him out. And he had the opportunity to interview Volodymyr Zelensky himself. And there's a great piece in Wired magazine. It's a June edition. You can read the interview. And let's grab a quick phone call for you, Jeffrey, and we can talk about a lot of other issues as well. We'll start with Chris in Bethesda, Maryland. Hi, Chris. Good afternoon.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'd like to dissent just politely on two issues. One is the idea that Ukraine and Zelensky represent the good guys. The Zelensky regime has its roots, its proximate roots, in a 2014 CIA coup that overthrew the legitimately elected president of Ukraine, Yanukovych. Mm-hmm. And secondly, he's also violated the Minsk Accords, which were signed by him and Putin in 2017, that called for a ceasefire, right, and local officials in the Donbas electing their own governors. And he's violated those Minsk Accords numerous times. He's been shelling the Donbas, and over 14,000 people, including civilians, have been killed. And then thirdly, he's not the good guy because of the culture he represents.
All right.
Let me throw that out.
We'll get an answer for you here. And let me just, I'll add to what Chris is saying. Obviously, my position is Russia was wrong to invade Ukraine. Ukraine certainly has a right to defend itself against invasion. But there are some people, and we just heard from Chris, who are saying, look, Russia has a right to do this. So they're advancing. Some people even say they're advancing Christian principles, and the West's hatred of Russia is because Putin is standing against the corruption in the West. So I'd love to get your thoughts on those who say, hey, look, maybe we need to reframe how the world is viewing this conflict between Ukraine and Russia. Is Ukraine really the victim? And how are we to view of Vladimir Putin? Your thoughts on that, Jeffrey?
Sure. So it is true that before this war started, Ukraine was seen as a different place. This was a country that suffered from endemic corruption, that had a number of kleptocrats and oligarchs who ran the country in very nefarious ways. And, you know, Ukraine is a country that has had enormous problems. It's a young country. It's only been since the early 1990s that the country, as we know it now, has even existed. I mean, this whole idea of Ukraine is of Ukraine existing is a very recent one. So yeah, it's a fragile state, fragile young democracy, and pretty much, you know, I mean, if we look back at Ukrainian history, a huge number of elected leaders there have just been enormously corrupt and crooks, essentially. So one of the things that Ukrainians often remark to me is that they're surprised at how they went from being this backwater almost before the war, a place that really only had a marginal view from Americans and the world outside, a place that was kind of seen on the edges of stuff we care about, to suddenly being the geopolitical center of the world, that this is where the conflict between the West and Russia is playing out. This is where the future is going to be. This war is going to determine a good deal of the future of the world in the near future. And that was something that was deeply surprising to them because they often didn't realize that, you know, the outside world could really care about Ukraine. President Zelensky has been criticized. There are also in the past, there have been many Ukrainians who didn't like him, who didn't vote for him. I personally met Ukrainians who didn't like him, who believed that he was simply a part of the old system and he wasn't really changing a whole lot. But I think that the overarching issue here is that Russia has launched an unprovoked illegal invasion of a sovereign country, which has no grounding in international law. It's an act of aggression against a nation that's right on the borders of the European Union that has enormous symbolic power. There ultimately is a greater struggle that's going on here. And this is why so many people around the world are drawn to Ukraine, because this is the place where we're testing Putin's power, where we can see, you know, is Russia going to be a major threat in the future? Is Russia a paper tiger?
Right.
Can the underdogs, the Ukrainians, stand up to this major power and show them that this is, this is illegal. This is a serious situation. And, you know, can they overturn Russia? It's not even clear yet if Putin is going to survive this war. There are many scenarios that could play out in which Putin loses power or he's somehow humbled. Originally, when the war started, there were Russian agents, Spetsnaz, so the special forces agents, were within minutes of assassinating President Zelensky. The original prediction was that President Zelensky probably wouldn't survive this war and Putin would. But now we're in the opposite situation where it's looking more and more like Zelensky is going to emerge triumphant and Putin might end up in a very bad situation.
I want to follow up on something Chris said, but you brought up historically, say Ukraine was historically a notoriously corrupt country. And it just makes me wonder, as an American who has dumped billions of dollars into this particular war, you know, is there any sort of accounting, any sort of accountability on how the money that's being poured into Ukraine is being spent or used? You know, the U.S. and the EU are giving them tons of money. Are we sure it's all reaching its proper end?
So I personally don't know, the full details of how those deals played out. I do know that. So in the U.S., the Department of Defense has its own systems of checks and balances, and they have ways of auditing these kinds of donations. But a good deal of the aid that's been going to Ukraine is a lot of it is non-lethal aid, so medical supplies, kind of basic stuff, food stuff, things that people, everyday people need. That's a huge chunk of it. And then there's the military aid, which is a whole other deal. I personally don't know. And I'm sure, I would just guess that a lot of this is perhaps still covert and kept under wraps. But there is a large deal, a large amount of military aid going from the EU and from the U.S. To Ukraine to defend itself. But that's what President Zelensky does always talk about. This is something that he brought up in our interview, just the importance of continuing to get aid, because this foreign aid, he believes, is a lifeline for his government, that they would not be able to simply stand alone and fight off Russia without the help of all these generous foreign powers.
So, Jeffrey, two things here before we run out of time. And again, it's subjective, so give me your best guess. I mean, how do you see this playing out? How do you see it ending is really the big question. And then secondly, we look at a country right now where Vladimir Putin is conducting siege operations, if you will, against individual cities, and he's just destroying this place. This country's turning into rubble. I had mentioned $350 billion to repair it. The citizens of Ukraine who've left, they're in Poland and Germany and Canada, the states are spread out all over the world. They have nothing to come home to. So what does the future look like for Ukraine when this war ends? So twofold there. How do you see it ending? And ultimately, what about those citizens who have left the country? Will they return?
I think that it will be a country in shambles in many parts. I personally saw the devastation of the war in many parts around the country. I saw shelled apartment buildings. I saw, former battlefields. I personally did not witness battle itself. I was not at the front lines, but I saw the after effects of what this war has done to people. It's a terrible war, like all wars, and it really has worn down on the psyche and the, the things that people once had. They realize that they don't have it anymore. That, many Ukrainians I talked to said they want this war to end and they want to get back to their regular lives, but that's not happening anytime soon, it looks like. So So what is Ukraine going to look like? It will be a very tough period of reconstruction. The country in many areas has been absolutely devastated and destroyed. In some parts of the country, there's hunger, there are food shortages. But I think that in the end, I think there's reason to be optimistic, because I think that this is going to lead to a rebirth and a renaissance. I think President Zelensky coming out of this will be written in history as a hero and a legend. And the reconstruction is going to be seen by Ukrainians as building the nation out of the rubble and turning it into something truly great.
Yeah. Hey, just a personal question I had, because I have not followed this part of the story. You know, I know satellites played a huge role in this war and technology, Starlink in particular. Whatever happened there, you know, and is the government funding that now? And what's Musk's role in all that?
So the U.S. Department of Defense was originally funding the purchases of some of those Starlinks by the Ukrainian government. Elon Musk donated others. So the Starlink system, it's essentially it's a private system, a little device that you can pull open that allows you to get internet access without a cell tower being nearby. Cell towers are easily destroyed in war. They're super easy targets. So this is what has kept the military, people who are close to enemy lines, has kept their connections up and running, kept them communicating with the outside world. So these Starlinks, they're still...
Yeah. Well, Jeff, I hate to cut you off. I got to leave you right there, okay, because I'm up against the clock. My gratitude. We'll have you back to talk about Chinese surveillance as well. Stay with me.